from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
They were really 1 point away from being in the playoffs. You know, one win away. So the value in making sure that you play good, consistent hockey, the fact this year that they won a lot of games against a lot of good teams just told me that they've got a lot of good players. And I really believe the connected part, that playing for each other, believing in how you play and being really consistent with your play night in, night out.
All right, Joe, I asked Josh to play Lindy Ruff coming in.
Okay.
Would you like to play This Day in History or This Day in the Future?
Ooh.
Little game here. We'll get to both of them. Before we get to the Rodgers thing, and I've got some Joe Shane stuff, and you've got Keon. We'll probably switch gears to football, but I've got – these are fun Sabres things. I want to say that.
Sabres.
These are fun Sabres things, kind of. This Day in History or This Day in the Future?
Let's do this day in history first, because otherwise I'm going to be thinking about that a lot and trying to figure that out throughout.
Okay. This Day in Buffalo Sports History.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is it?
It is
July 3rd. What happened on July 3rd?
The Oilers offer sheeting Thomas Vanek is my guess.
That is not what I'm thinking of. I now have to check what day that was.
Okay. that would have been wasn't that a couple days after?
It was.
Okay, so that could also be right, but it's not this. Is it Sabres?
July 6th was when the Oilers offer sheeted Thomas Vanek.
They waited 5 days, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did they fire somebody?
A lot of these are going to be, I don't know, but that's not what I'm thinking of.
Okay.
No.
What else happens around July 3rd? It's free agency.
That's right.
Yeah.
The clue is this day in history and this day in the future, this game we're about to play, both involve Lindy Ruff to a degree.
Oh.
So both of these, you know, it's in within Lindy's time frame. And it's a Sabre-related story.
Okay. So what? They hired Lindy Ruff?
Nope.
They wouldn't have fired him. That was
one of the most important trades in franchise history happened 21 years ago today.
2003? Did they trade for Danny Briere?
Close.
Chris Drury?
Drury.
They traded for Drury 21 years ago.
21 years ago they traded for Chris Drury.
Well, I don't even remember that, and that year number just hits me hard for some reason.
And I have a side question about Drury.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever associated with a franchise they played for less after leaving than Chris Drury?
Oh, that is – I've thought of this before with him.
He's never said a word or been –
I looked. Yeah. I thought about this maybe last summer, last spring, and I was thinking, I think Briere maybe was on the station for something. And I thought, like, when's the last time we heard from Drury? And I went looking for any reference anywhere of him. This is how deep I went on this, how curious I was. Has he ever talked about the Sabres?
That's what I'm wondering.
I went as far in as I watched his speech for the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame, the United States Hockey Hall of Fame, like 5 years ago. And they weren't mentioned. They weren't even referenced. And I couldn't find any other reference anywhere else at all.
Yeah.
He's never done an interview that I know of. Has he ever been on this station? Like,
I don't know. I can't remember him. Everybody comes back and talks about it on some level.
Oh, yeah.
Has he been there for Miller Night, for RJ Night, for anything?
Oh, he hasn't been to anything, right? For sure. Right? I can't even find an interview of him being somewhere. I mean, I can't imagine. Was he at Alumni Night? Well, no, Alumni Night, he would have still been playing, right?
Like maybe, yeah.
13 years ago. Yeah, but there were former players sitting in the chairs for RJ Knight, right, and for Miller. He wasn't even – I'll go as far as to say this. Were you at Miller Knight?
Yes. Was there a message?
I don't remember him having a video message. Like, Briere, I remember, because he would have been managing the Flyers, he had a video message that was played up on the Jumbotron. Maybe Pominville did too. So some of those players that couldn't make it, Lindy – and Drury was the co-captain with him, and I do not remember him having a video message even. I guess I could be wrong on that, but I feel like I would remember it because it would just be so. Hey, Chris Drury talking about the Sabres or talking to Sabre fans. That's a good one. I bet the answer could be yes on that.
Yeah,
I mean, it's zero. How could you be associated with a team you played for and had success for? Like, he has. Is it an all-time goal in Sabre history? I don't know. It is for me. Him tying the game in Game 5 against the Rangers. Like, he has an iconic moment in my sports life as a Buffalo sports fan. And he doesn't exist. It's like he wants to eliminate that from his life, basically. It's how it feels.
So that's this day in history. How about this day in the future? This one you can't get, but...
I would just be very, very lucky.
A lot of days in the future.
Yeah.
So here's what I was thinking about. You know, there's a lot of, whether it's doom and gloom or doubt or concern about the Sabres, I was looking at the schedule, and as Josh has been mentioning in the updates, they open overseas. This is the tentpole event that they claim to be a part of. Remember we got the press release, hey, we're going to be part of a tentpole event. Turned out that was going overseas. We thought maybe it was the All-Star game. We thought maybe it was a Winter Classic. They're going overseas. Anyway, they open with a pair of games against New Jersey on a Saturday and a Sunday afternoon. Saturday morning, Sunday afternoon.
Yep.
Two games against New Jersey. Lindy Ruff revenge games, by the way, while we're at it. So two Lindy revenge games.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come home after a five-day break. So, putting aside everything that's been said in the last 72 hours, week, yeah, whatever, if they go 2-0 and come home after a five-day break for Lindy Ruff's re-debut as Sabres coach on a Thursday night, what kind of atmosphere you think you're going to get?
I bet if you've won those first two games and it's Lindy's return...
You have 5 days to build towards it. All I'm trying to say is they've got a lot to prove to us, but by the third game of the season, we could be like, let's go, we're back. I mean, if they go 2-0, the five-day break to me is key. 5 days are just like, I mean, should we go tonight? We should go tonight. It's Lindy. They're 2-0.
They're 2-0. Now I'm thinking a lot about how just can I call the first two games must-win games? Of the season, I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna do that. But you know what I mean. Like
maybe for the vibes, sure.
The vibes, like because there's 5 days in between the two games prior. How much that could do for the crowd's atmosphere, or you know, just the attitude of everybody going to the arena if they've won two games as opposed to if they had lost two games. Like to me, if you've won two games, then I think I'm in agreement. Like I think. That place is raucous.
Yeah. Okay, let's
for opening ceremonies. Like
That's right. Let's go one further. Okay, they win that game, Joe. Uh-oh. Saturday night, the Cup champs are in town.
Oh, Florida's in town. The 3-0 Sabres against Florida.
Just saying, this day in the future. We should do this day in the future more often instead of this day in history. This day in the future.
This day in the future.
In
you've
the future,
got the Sabres being 3-0 and hosting the Stanley Cup champion, Florida Panthers.
This day in the future is great because they haven't lost anything. We can just imagine wins.
Right.
Look how fun this day in the future can be.
Right. It's much more hopeful. It's much more hopeful, for sure.
Yes.
Is there anything else interesting about their schedule? I saw 3 p.m. Thanksgiving Eve. Oh, Thanksgiving. So, no, sorry. They play Thanksgiving Eve at night at home, but then they also play the day after Thanksgiving at 3 p.m. That's what I'm thinking of.
To me, the most interesting thing about the Sabres schedule, and this is an indication of life changing, but they have they have so many afternoon games, and I am in love with that.
Okay.
Couldn't tell you how happy that makes me. 1 o'clock Saturday against the Red Wings, October 26th. 1 o'clock Saturday, Calgary. Home afternoon games. 1 o'clock Saturday, Utah. Each month I've got at least one. Now I'm into January. 4 o'clock, Seattle at home. February, 1 o'clock, New Jersey at home. Yeah. There's a 5:30. Even into March, I've got 12:30 Vegas. I've got at least once a month an
Vegas
afternoon home game. So I love everything about I love afternoon home games.
Yeah.
I know it doesn't fit into everyone's schedule, but if you gave me Saturday afternoon games, college football season is kind of tough in football season. So get me January, February, March. I would love afternoon home games every weekend.
How about Monday, November 11th, hosting Montreal at 12:30?
Love it.
What is that? That's what's November? What's November 11th? What holiday?
Duh.
It's gotta be something. Why are they playing on Monday at 12:30? It's gotta be a holiday.
It is a holiday.
What's an early November holiday?
It's not Columbus. Is it Veterans Day?
This is gonna bother me.
It is Veterans Day.
Veterans Day. Okay,
there
so Veterans Day at 12:30 against Montreal.
Couldn't love it more.
Love it.
Monday 12:30. I mean, come on.
So that's back to back actually. So you go Saturday home Calgary 1 o'clock, Monday 12:30 Montreal.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
The only thing I don't like about it is I do love those Toronto home games, and I think they only have one before like the final week of the season. Toronto, man, the final two games of the year at home.
Mm-hmm.
You want two games to make the playoffs that might be important. You got home Toronto and then home Philadelphia to close out the season. So a couple of highlights on their schedule. Here's my Rodgers question for you. Are you like just ignoring him so much like you don't even care at this point?
One more thing. Jeff points out they have two weekday games that start at 6 or 6:30. Let's go.
Really?
Even better. Let's move that time up to 6.
Weekday games that start at 6.
Let's go. Okay, anyway, Roger,
6:30. Are you... Okay, yeah, I see those now. 6 o'clock. Oh, that's a Sunday. 6 o'clock, home Carolina, Wednesday, January 15th. Yeah, love that.
Absolutely love it.
Are you just ignoring Rodgers so much that you kind of don't even care about him at this point? Or are you, like, I'm wondering about Rodgers. Am I rooting, the non-Brady maybe, I might have to set this as like a non-Brady division, rooting against an individual in football harder against Rodgers this year than I think I ever have about an individual? I don't even know what would be second for me. Like, who's the player you have rooted against? Like, I want that guy to fail so bad. Like, Tua, but that's kind of like it's almost like kind of half kidding, right? And it's because he's in the division. And that could be your answer. It could be a guy that's in the division that you're threatened by as someone. But, like, Rodgers, for me, it's just like the guy is so insufferable all the time. And he's on the Jets, which helps a lot, too.
I think one thing that'll be different. I was thinking about this. Going into this season, let's talk about the division. Buffalo, Jets, Dolphins, Patriots. Going into the season, three of the four teams have the same storyline they did the year before, basically. Right? That's the Jets. Hey, what's Rodgers going to look like? Because their season was a wash.
Right.
So they have the exact same storyline. The Dolphins, I feel like they have the exact same storyline, which is, can they get over the Bills hump? Can Tua, right? What's different? Sure, there are players in.
Can you make a deep, are you capable of a deep playoff run? Like, can you not just get in, but can you actually win some playoff games?
Are you for real? Can you beat good teams?
Are you
for real? So that's the same. New England, sure, it's a different coach and a different quarterback, But really what it is for New England is, can this quarterback show that he's worth his weight, whatever.
Can you also be like just even respectable,
right,
a little bit for
New England? Can we get to 8 wins and see something out of our quarterback? It's a 30,000-foot view, but those three teams have the exact same stories to me with small changes. And the Bills have the most different story because they had the biggest departure, arguably, the biggest changeover, the roster changeover, the leadership changeover. So, like, this is a roundabout way to get to your Rodgers point. To me, it's just a redo of last offseason, except I actually expect to hear less from Rodgers because it's all the same stuff. Nothing's new for him. So the headlines about what Rodgers is going to do, or he's throwing to Randall Cobb or whoever's throwing to, who even knows, it's all just the same story 1 year later.
Well,
so I feel like it's easier to ignore him. And then if we get into the season, the fact that he's playing conceivably will keep him busy.
Right.
Right?
Like, well,
last year he sought out the spotlight so relentlessly because he wasn't playing. And this year, in theory, I think he'll just play.
Well, you'd think so. It also, I wonder, too, maybe it could be different, though, this year in that, like, what about the coach? Because if the Jets have a bad start to the year, like, would they move off that coach? I think he's a good coach. But I don't know, like, what his rope would be going into the year, and if Rodgers would have a say in that. I mean, I think he probably would, but he's already getting into it with them, and I wonder if it'll be more tumultuous internally, because they've had, while he hasn't played, this happened in Green Bay, right? Slowly over time, although he kind of didn't become, when did he become a lot to deal with? Like, 5 years ago? 6 years ago? Like, it wasn't the whole time he was in Green Bay. At least it doesn't seem that way. He is seemingly becoming a lot to deal with, and he was new last year. It was, hey, you know, fresh new relationship, and, you know, we're just getting to know each other a little bit, and, oh, look, how this is going to be so much fun. We're going to win the Super Bowl. Best quarterback we've had in franchise history. And even though he didn't play and he was hurt all year, I don't know, they got to know him for a year. You know, like, they got to experience the distraction, the constant distractions that are Aaron Rodgers, and that's already happening, this mini-camp thing. Connor Hughes had a story yesterday where he reported, and he's one of the Jets insiders, SNY, right? He reported that Rodgers missed he missed mini-camp because of a pre-planned trip to Egypt that he planned while he was away last year. He just did it in the middle of mini-camp, and the Jets were, like, made aware of it and, like, okay, well, you kind of can't do that, but I guess we're not going to make a big deal of it if you do it. Like, I guess they're not going to do anything if he's healthy, but I think I'm going to hear from him just as much as I did last year. He's still going to go on the Pat McAfee show, isn't he? He's going to talk to the media now, Jets media, I'm assuming, once a week, and you're going to have game storylines involving him as well. And it's an election year, so if you want that part of it, I'm sure he's going to talk a lot about that as the season goes on. Like, I just expect that he is going to be in our lives constantly this season. And that is going to make me want him to lose and to root against him. I think more, no, I won't say more than Brady. I really hated Brady. It might be close to that, though. It might be about, it's Brady level, even when he was in New England. Like, I can't stand this guy, and I really want to see that all just implode this year more than anything.
The one thing that is different, Riley Stillman signing with Carolina, okay. The one thing that is different is when it was Brady, I wanted their fans to lose very, very badly. Right?
Okay.
Like, it was
yep,
all about, I'll root against every single Boston fan alive on every single venture. So it was Brady and everyone around him.
Boston.
And Belichick,
yeah,
too.
And Belichick.
And with the Jets, I mean, I don't really, it's not to say that they're not, whatever, hateable like Jets fans, but I just don't associate the same way. If a New York sports team is in the final of some league championship, if it's the Knicks, if it's the Mets, even the Yankees have softened on quite a bit. Boston, I would like to lose every single thing they've ever played for the rest of the time. and for Rodgers and Jets fans, whatever, okay. The Jets haven't won anything ever, so
right,
there's not really anything worth, you know, getting too worked up about. So that's the one thing that might separate that level from Brady for me.
Yeah, they also have the, like, they haven't won anything. They haven't won anything recently. They've the same drought as the Sabres do, 13 years.
Yeah.
So, Rodgers, he went to Egypt, which I guess There was another report from a couple weeks ago that he went on like an ayahuasca retreat. Could these line up? I don't know. Is it the same thing? Are we saying he didn't go do drugs and he went to the pyramids instead, or is it both?
I'm reading a story about that. It's about seeing like an ancient doctor or something like that. So, hey, whatever.
All right.
Have a good time, man. Yeah. Have a good time. Meanwhile, the Hard Knocks offseason thing.
Yeah. The Giants offseason's on HBO. First episode was last night. Yep.
So, Joe Shane, we're going to learn a little bit about Joe Shane and how he operates and how the Giants operate. There's a quote from Shane that, boy, sometimes, you know, Joe, you know how the game works. Sometimes these GMs say things to defend their own players that instead of defending their own players, they make themselves look horrible.
Is this the Daniel Jones quote?
There's two things about Daniel Jones that are very, of course, like hitching your wagon to Jones.
Uh-huh.
Okay, good luck. He had two things. When asked about why he didn't put the franchise tag on Saquon Barkley or sign him to a lucrative extension, there's a quote where he says, about Jones, you're paying the guy $40 million. It's not to hand the ball off to a $12 million back.
Is this the quote we have a problem with?
Well, it's one of them. It's one of them. Because, Joe Shane, let me introduce you to yourself last year. You paid Saquon Barkley $11 million last year?
Yeah.
You're not paying Daniel Jones $40 million to hand off to an $11 million, $12 million back. You did that last year, man. Okay. And then he says the plan all along was to give him a couple years. This is the year for Daniel Jones.
A couple years. What year is this for him? This is
exactly.
What year is this?
This will be his sixth season as a member of the Giants. His sixth. He had 24 touchdowns in his first season. He hasn't had more than 15 since.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Wow. Now that I'm looking at his career, just on Pro Football Reference, who gets this amount of time?
Alex Smith is the answer.
Alex Smith? But Alex Smith got benched in San Francisco before he kind of reemerged, didn't he?
Yes, but Alex Smith is the only guy that was able to play a long, long time. I mean, we've made this point about Aikman before. Aikman in today's NFL would not have continued to play through what he did probably. Daniel Jones has gotten so much time with the Giants, and here's Joe Shane saying, the plan all along, this was the year. These GMs that think that they look better because they just pound the table for their own guy, I can't even believe they just do it. So they feel this, like if you speak it into, you're going to speak it into existence. You just say this was the plan all along. Oh, the plan all along was for Daniel Jones in his sixth season to look like something good. And here's the bigger problem. Here's the quote I told you I had a problem with.
Yeah.
He was talking about their offensive line and their need to fix it. And he said, Joe Shane, GM of the Giants, former assistant GM of the Bills. He called into a sports radio station effectively and said, because we get this call and everybody gets this call over the years, that Patrick Mahomes could not have won behind their offensive line. Which is,
Patrick,
of course,
Mahomes could not have won behind their offensive line.
Right.
His own offensive line.
Their line is bad. There's no doubt about that. But Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen could probably win behind any offensive line. They are the best in the NFL at sack avoidance individually.
Yeah.
They lift your lineup like nobody else. And he called in to say, wow, Joe Montana couldn't win behind this line, guys. He has a terrible quarterback who is not good at sack avoidance, who is not good in the pocket, and he's going to pour assets into an offensive line and say Mahomes couldn't win behind this line. Like, that would be the day as the GM, see ya. You're so toast. You're toast. It's provable that Mahomes is number one and or Allen is number one. These guys are elite at sack avoidance. Sacks are a quarterback stat. Tua doesn't get sacked because of the system. His line has been problematic throughout. Mahomes made a Super Bowl, and they redid his offensive line. Joe Burrow took 9 sacks in a playoff game and went to the Super Bowl that year. Mahomes couldn't win behind this offensive line. Thanks for the call, Joe in New York. Click. What a comment from your GM.
Yeah, that's tough. I don't mind the running back one in a vacuum, right? The fact that he already did it, and the fact that the quarterback that makes $40 million is Daniel Jones, kind of almost ruins it. Because in a vacuum, if I just read, I'm paying a guy $40 million not to hand a ball off to $12 million back. Like, okay, no, that I agree with, but it's a circumstance. The line one is just, I can't, that's... Daniel Jones eats sacks. Like, it's obvious, too. It's not even, you know, just look at the numbers and you could tell. You watch Daniel Jones and he looks like he doesn't have a clue where he's supposed to go or how long he's supposed to hang onto the ball or anything. 6 years. I can't believe they're going into year six with him.
Yep.
803-0550 is the phone number if you want a thought or a comment on this or the Sabres from earlier as well. July 4th tomorrow. Take your phone calls, and we'll get to wrapping things up coming up. Jeremy and Joe, this is WGR.
I think Keon's worked hard like anything. College playbook versus an NFL playbook, big difference. The verbiage, where he's lining up, the sight adjust, all the variances he's got to do. But I see a guy who's working hard, who's competitive. You guys have gotten to know his personality. He's genuine. That's truly who he is. Like anything, he's going to have bumps in the road. He's a rookie, and I think we all need to understand that. But I think him and Josh are working on that rapport that's going to be necessary between quarterback and receiver.
That was Brandon Bean at OTAs, or minicamp, on Keon Coleman. Who, pretty easy to say, right? This is your final show before training camp at St. John Fisher. He is easily the number one thing to look forward to.
Yes, number one is Keon Coleman.
What's second? Second is...
Well, I got an answer here. I mean, I might go 2A, 2B, but I've got an answer here.
Could it just be the rest of the receivers?
No.
No? Not Chase Claypool?
No.
Number two for you is going to be... You can't really do it with the coordinator. Like, for the season, it would be Joe Brady, right. But, like, what
just
do you...
Just watch Brady on the sidelines.
Yeah, right.
No. Nope.
Tyrell Shavers, of course. What is number two? Vaughn?
Yep.
Vaughn.
Brian Baldinger posted a video yesterday showing Vaughn in the playoff game against the Chiefs and saying he was himself in the playoff game. He looked like Vaughn Miller.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't get after Mahomes, but they almost never do to begin with. But Baldinger basically said, and you've heard Vaughn say he doesn't feel like he should have played last year. So, yeah, Vaughn. Vaughn's number two.
Should we make anything of that, by the way, that Vaughn is out here saying, like, I shouldn't have been on the field the whole year? He was, and he was on the field week five.
Yeah, well, they're paying him, like, what, $20 million? So go out there and see what you can do.
They did, and I will give them credit. They did get around to, was it two games that they did this? They said, like, all right, we got to take you out. Like, we're healthy scratching you, like, because we're clearly not getting anything here. Like, eventually, I think they realize, okay, nothing's happening here. We know he's an all-time great veteran, whatever, leader in the locker room maybe too, but, like, we can't have him on the field. Like, they did eventually get to pulling him. So, it's not like they kept having him on the field over and over and over and over and over. I don't know, though, like, will we get to... How... There are some things you could pick up during training camp. There are some things you can't. Like, where does... How healthy Vaughn's knee fall into that. They'll answer questions about it too.
I think you'll be able to tell. A guy healthy or not? Is he making a difference? I think you'll be able to tell if he looks right.
All right.
Because Tre'Davious White, his first training camp, we were waiting for him to come back, and it took the whole camp. He rolled the bike.
Yeah.
I mean, if Vaughn is out there and says he feels 100%, and people are noticing. I mean, when he showed up his first year, you could tell right away that he's on another level. So let's find out if he still looks like, you know, or if he's back to looking like he's on that next level. So
yeah.
Number one, Keon Coleman. And number two, Vaughn.
And shouldn't there be more? Well, how many are there going to be? Shouldn't there be more starting position battles than there have been in years? Like last year, wasn't it just the one? It was right guard. Wasn't that it?
Yeah. That's probably right. I might want to say a little differently than battles because safety is in the mix, right?
Safety, and right? Because it'll be what? Rapp, Cole Bishop, and Edwards.
Yeah,
and
I might say
two spots.
Instead of battles, it might be positions possibly open to somebody taking it.
Sure.
Where you know what I mean? Like that really wasn't the case last year. What would we have said? It was only Ken Osiris Torrance knock out the guy that was there, who I already forgot who it was.
Ryan Bates.
Okay, Bates. Can he knock out Ryan Bates? And he did. And nobody else, you wouldn't think someone's going to beat out Hyder
Poyer.
Oh, no,
Poyer, wait, sorry, I'm wrong. There was one other one, middle linebacker.
That was wide open. Right?
Wide open, no
wide
clue.
Open.
No
that
clue.
Was a wide open battle. But with all the changeover, what the Bills don't have right now are incumbents. It's kind of like elections, right? Like you almost had incumbents that were unbeatable for a couple years in the secondary and on the defensive line. Yeah, there's been and Davis and Diggs, right? Nobody would ever even dream of somebody beating out one of those two for those jobs. So I think that's probably where you're at, is that there are battles, sure. There are still favorites, and I guess the favorites aren't favored by as much as they used to be, if I could say it that way.
Yeah, like right now, who that is not like listed as a starter has the best chance of becoming a starter at the end of training camp? Like it would be one of the safeties, probably, right? It would be
maybe
Cole Bishop, or
even corner feels slotted, doesn't it? It's going to be Douglas and Benford and Taron Johnson. That's done.
Yeah,
Elam can fight for that next man up spot. I guess he could beat somebody out, but I wouldn't say it's likely.
I was just trying to think of that. Like I think Benford's a very good player, and like Joe Marino did a show a couple weeks ago on like how underrated. Like he's a fantastic cornerback.
PFF is putting him on an all breakout team. I've seen his name lots of places as this guy's legitimately good. He's the question on Benford, I guess, would be this: is he going to show enough to be corner one going forward? Because Douglas is aging and on the final year of a deal. And would they want to bring him back? Maybe, maybe not. Would they add him for one more year and they kind of swap where Douglas becomes corner two and Benford jumps into corner one? If they even really treat him that way. But yeah, where does Benford top out at? I think is a good thing to watch.
Yeah, because I'll want to see. That's why I can't even create like, okay, maybe he could get in this way. Like I like Elam. I think he's been better than he's been given credit for. But, you know, it's a new secondary coach, too, or new corner coach, which we'll see. Maybe that gives – that's a different result. Year three maybe is different. But even if he looked really good, like, throughout a camp, he looked like he was starting to get it. I mean, they once spent a first-round pick on him. You know, like, he's got great athleticism for the position. Even if he had a great camp and like good preseason, I don't know where he's going. I don't know who he's taking out. Benford's not coming off the field, I don't think, as long as he's healthy. And I guess if Douglas looked old, maybe that would fire things up, but I'm not expecting that the way he looked last year. So, and then running back a little bit too, maybe. You told me yesterday you think James Cook's going to be the guy getting touchdowns. I think it's going to be Ray Davis.
I think he's going to have a big fantasy year, James Cook. Yep.
Draft.
Huge.
All right, good. Do I have any drafts with you where I can write that down and file that away for later? I don't think so. Actually, very quickly, while we're on fantasy and the Bills, the guy that's been the riser in fantasy Twitter has been jumping on him a little bit too the last couple of weeks, or really the last week. Curtis Samuel stock's going up.
Mm-hmm.
His ADP, average draft position, is going up. I think the fantasy community is starting to go, hey, wait a minute, he is probably, or yeah, probably, or maybe is the favorite to lead the receivers in catches. and is going to be used in a bunch of different ways and was really good with Joe Brady a couple years ago, like Josh Allen now, yeah, let me get Curtis Samuel as the 50th receiver off the board instead of he was going like almost the 70th a couple of weeks ago. So he is very much rising in fantasy communities.
Fantasy football having a big day today because the Dan Morgan, Joe Shane conversation on the Giants offseason show maybe we never knew this or didn't know that we knew this. These trades that these actual GMs hit are just like our own leagues in fantasy football. The sideline conversation, Dan Morgan says to Joe Shane, you want to give us a pair of ones for Brian Burns?
Right, like just Joe Shane says, like you think he's kidding when you're watching it.
You're just standing next to another. It's like if you were at a bar with a guy in your league. Like, what do you think? Can you give me something for Brian Burns?
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, no, but and they keep talking, and it is kind of funny to look at what the price ended up being because the Panthers with Brian Burns at one point they could have taken a one or two ones for him and didn't, and instead they traded him to the Giants for a second and a fifth and a conditional fifth.
Right.
And a fourth.
And the first mention of it was
the
two
first
ones.
Two firsts. What about two a second, firsts. A fifth, and a conditional fifth and fourth? Oh, yeah, okay, that's good.
Right, we'll do that too. It also, you know what I mean? You tweeted that, and this also made me think of this. Because if you're if you're friends with someone in your fantasy league, and you talk to them more regularly, aren't you like 10 times more likely to make a trade with them? Because you're just talking more often?
And
how much, maybe this, it gave me an appreciation for how much does that also happen in real sports, regular sports, where who are the three guys in the clip standing next to each other? It's Brandon Bean, Joe Shane, and Dan Morgan, who are all general managers who all work together for the Bills and maybe even previously all together in Carolina, but it definitely with the Bills. So these guys would have worked together. They know each other. They seem pretty cordial, so it looks like they're all friends the way they were talking to each other, and they're all just standing around. Who are you more likely to make a trade with? The guy that you're standing next to all the time because you're buddies, and then you throw out the, hey, want to give me two firsts for Brian Burns? Yeah. Whereas, I mean, if you're Joe Shane and you have no prior experience working with John Schneider of the Seahawks, you don't even really know who he is other than he's the GM of the Seahawks, then, I mean, you're not going to really make that offhand comment to him, and then you maybe never trade with him.
This is where I like to think about real potential fun. If Morgan and Joe Shane and Brandon Bean, if I'm them, the day before we're being filmed at the Senior Bowl, because, like, hey, we're getting followed around, guys, I'm Joe Shane, I'd say, here's what we're going to do, fellas. Ready? We're going to start talking trade on the sideline, and then we're going to say, hey, you know who you should call? You should call, and then you're going to tell the film crew, you got to bleep out who we say, but we'll tell you something really funny. And then you label a GM in the league as a mark. As a mark. Oh, you should totally call John Schneider. Oh, call Schneider. He's an idiot. He'll trade anything. Because that's how your fantasy, that's how your dynasty league works.
Yes.
As soon as
yes,
you see the guy exactly. in your league take a trade he shouldn't, everybody throws that guy trades.
Absolutely.
And I just want Morgan and Shane and Bean on the sideline. It doesn't even have to be true. Pick one guy and then go to the film crew and say, as long as you bleep that guy's name, you can keep it in. And then they just put it out into the NFL world that one of the guys is a mark. That's what I want from these kind of shows.
That would be, it would make it so much better. Make it
every
so better.
Every market would be saying, are they talking about our guy?
Yeah.
Only three fan bases would be safe. Those three GMs.
Yes.
They're all friends. Like, let's make everybody else out there look a little worse today.
Yep. Quick question on the phones from Joe in North Tonawanda. What's up, Joe?
Yeah, I got a question. How the Bills using their fullback this year? How much time do you think he's going to be used for?
No more often than I would expect he was used in previous years. Reggie Gilliam, he's under contract. So he'll be here, he'll be the fullback, but I don't know. I don't even think about fullback. He asked me that question, and honestly, the first thing I thought of is, are they going to use a sixth offensive lineman again all season as like a tight end that's blocking? I don't know how many other teams really do that. I feel like I don't see it all that often. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but yeah, we'll see. Fullback, maybe they use a sixth offensive lineman a lot again. 803-0550 is the phone number.
When we get back in Extendo Sports, I've got a fun thing that happened at NFL.com today. Maybe you haven't seen it. They've done a super draft. A win now super draft.
Okay.
Okay?
And
every player in the league, what I want to ask you, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about how many quarterbacks went to start and the first non-quarterback picked.
breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Okay, so NFL.com has a pretty cool super draft here. Mm-hmm. If you were drafting the NFL today for a win now scenario, and they did, did a snake draft.
Okay.
Who's the first non-quarterback taken? Chad Ryder of NFL.com did this. You might not be surprised. Mahomes goes one, Allen goes two.
Yep.
How many quarterbacks go to start this draft? Consider that, again, it's a super draft to win now.
Yeah. 10.
14 quarterbacks go in the first 14 picks. Wow. And then the first non-quarterback selected is?
Before that, who's the last quarterback taken before the first?
I'm so glad you asked that, because my question was going to be,
Okay.
Where's the quarterback break?
I see. Okay, so the first non-quarterback is going to be Justin Jefferson.
No, Jefferson goes in this super draft 21st.
Okay, what about Micah Parsons?
Micah Parsons goes 19th.
Miles Garrett.
That's the guy.
Okay.
Garrett goes 15th.
Okay.
Then, back to a quarterback. Who's that quarterback?
So the first quarterback after the first non-quarterback.
Right.
I'm guessing who they had is the 15th best quarterback in the league?
Yes.
Tua.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. Right?
But.
Absolutely.
Again, it's just Chad Ryder doing this. But I kind of like this.
Okay,
kind of
yeah.
fun. The next quarterback doesn't go till 24th. That's Caleb Williams. And then I start looking for, all right, well, who has the most players taken, right, off of their teams? If there were a super draft today, what team has the most first-round picks? Super draft, win now draft.
Oh, the first.
There's a team, by my math, I'm just counting, like looking at names, and there's a team that had three guys taken in the first round.
Is it the Cowboys?
Actually, let me double check that now, because the Cowboys might also. Because
I was thinking Dak, Parsons, and then maybe Lamb would make it in there.
Okay, there are two teams. Yeah, because
okay,
Dak went sixth, Parsons went in. Yeah, so there are two teams. I think that have three.
Is the other one? Oh, does San Francisco make it in here?
San Francisco has also three. No, I'm sorry.
It's Purdy, right? Purdy would
make
it.
No, San Francisco has three. Okay, there are three teams.
Okay. Because
they have Bosa and McCaffrey and Purdy.
McCaffrey. Who? Come on. Get out of here with the running back.
Hold on. This
I can't get off of that.
You're going to love this. In this mock draft, who took McCaffrey?
The Bills?
The Steelers.
Of course.
Right? Chad Ryder's like, oh, the Steelers take
a running back. What am I in the middle of guessing right now? The team with the
teams that had three players taken in the first round. So you had Niners, Cowboys.
What about?
This is almost like a preview of the NFL top 100 players. I'll just give the answer because we're running along.
Is it Miami?
It's the Chiefs.
The Chiefs, right?
Mahomes, Kelsey, and Chris Jones.
Okay, yeah.
But it's cool. I mean, check out the article from Chad Ryder. He did a full 7-round mock draft. The Bills pick very late, so they don't get a quarterback. They get Nick Bosa, and then in the second round, Brandon Ayuk. And I guess I could keep clicking to find out if they have a quarterback because, you know, this would be interesting. If how far do you go? The Bills take Devin Witherspoon, 92nd overall. Who is their quarterback, Joe? Who is their quarterback going to be in this mock draft?
Yeah, I need to find out.
I'm going to stay here until you get to the quarterback.
It's going to be.
Oh, it's Drake May.
Hi, Daddy.
Yikes!
All right,
Drake
I'm off until training
camp.
On that
note, all right, enjoy. We'll talk to you in 3 weeks exactly.
Hey, if something super big comes up, I'll just probably call in. Like I'm gonna go on like a Howard hiatus where I'm just gonna walk in the building all the time. How about that?
But only when big things happen.
All right.
Only when big things happen. All right. Thanks, Jeremy.
All right.
I'll be back on Friday. Among our guests, Nick Mendola is gonna join on Friday because I need to rant about Greg Berhalter still being employed if he's still employed on Friday by the U.S. Men's National Soccer Team. It'll be insane if he still is. Anyways, stay tuned. Sal Capaccio on the way next with the Extra Point Show here on WGR.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Look, from the looks of it, they did a snake draft.
Okay.
Who's the first non-quarterback taken? Chad Ryder of NFL.com did this. You might not be surprised. Mahomes goes one. Allen goes two.
Yep.
How many quarterbacks go to start this draft? Consider that, again, it's a super draft to win now.
Yeah. 10.
14 quarterbacks go in the first 14 picks. Wow. And then the first non-quarterback selected is?
Before that, who's the last quarterback taken before the first?
I'm so glad you asked that, because my question was going to be,
Okay.
Where's the quarterback break?
I see. Okay, so the first non-quarterback is going to be Justin Jefferson.
No, Jefferson goes in this super draft 21st.
Okay, what about Micah Parsons?
Micah Parsons goes 19th.
Miles Garrett.
That's the guy.
Okay.
Garrett goes 15th.
Okay.
Then, back to a quarterback. Who's that quarterback?
So the first quarterback after the first non-quarterback.
Right.
So this is this. I'm guessing who they had as the 15th best quarterback in the league?
Yes.
Tua.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. Right?
But.
Absolutely.
Again, it's just Chad Ryder doing this, but I kind of like this.
Okay,
kind of
yeah.
Fun. The next quarterback doesn't go till 24th. That's Caleb Williams. And then I start looking for, all right, well, who has the most players taken, right, off of their teams? If there were a super draft today, what team has the most first-round picks? Super draft, win now draft.
Oh, the first.
There's a team, by my math, I'm just counting, like looking at names, and there's a team that had three guys taken in the first round.
Is it the Cowboys?
Actually, let me double check that now, because the Cowboys might also. Because
I was thinking Dak, Parsons, and then maybe Lamb would make it in there.
Okay, there are two teams. Yeah, because
okay,
Dak went sixth, Parsons went in. Yeah, so there are two teams. I think that have three.
Is the other one? Oh, does San Francisco make it in here?
San Francisco has also three. No, I'm sorry.
It's Purdy, right? Purdy would
no,
make
they,
it.
They, San Francisco has three. Okay, there are three teams.
Okay.
Because they have Bosa and McCaffrey and Purdy.
McCaffrey. Who? Come on. Get out of here with
hold
the
on,
running back.
Hold on. This
I
is
can't
what,
get off
you're,
on
you're,
that.
You're going to love time. This. In this mock draft, who took McCaffrey?
The Bills?
The Steelers.
Of course.
Right? Chad Ryder's like, oh, the Steelers take
they'll,
a running
they'll
back.
They'll take a running back. What am I in the middle of guessing right now? The team with the
teams that had three players taken in the first round. So you had Niners, Cowboys.
What about?
This is almost like a a preview of the NFL top 100 players. I'll just give the answer because we're running along.
Is it Miami?
It's the Chiefs.
The Chiefs, right.
The Mahomes, Kelce, and Chris Jones.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's cool. I mean, check out the article from Chad Ryder. He did a full 7-round mock draft. The Bills pick very late, so they don't get a quarterback. They get Nick Bosa.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the second round, Brandon Ayuk. And I guess I could keep clicking to find out if they have a quarterback because, you know, this would be interesting if how far do you go? The Bills take Devin Witherspoon, 92nd overall. Who is their quarterback? Joe, who is their quarterback going to be in this mock draft?
Yeah, I need to find out.
I'm going to stay here until you get to the quarterback.
It's going
to
be...
Oh, it's Drake May.
Hi, Daddy.
Yikes.
All right.
Drake
I'm
May.
Off until training
On that
camp.
Note. All right. Enjoy. We'll talk to you in 3 weeks exactly.
Hey, if something super big comes up, I'll just probably call in. Like, I'm gonna go on like a Howard hiatus where I'm just gonna walk in the building all the time. How about that?
But only when big things happen.
All right.
Only when big things happen. All right. Thanks, Jeremy.
All right.
I'll be back on Friday. Among our guests, Nick Mendola is going to join on Friday because I need to rant about Greg Berhalter still being employed if he's still employed on Friday by the U.S. men's national soccer team. It'll be insane if he still is. Anyways, stay tuned. Sal Capaccio on the way next with the Extra Point Show here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.